Blog Talk Radio.
Cash, cold, that's what I need.
Bad credit holding you back? Want to become a real estate investor but haven't won the lottery? Learn how to fix your credit, get out of debt, and build true financial independence with real estate in 1 hour a week. Tune in to Unlock Your Wealth Radio with Heather Wagenhall. She'll show you how without winning the lottery or working 10 jobs. And here's your host, Heather Wagenhall.
Greetings and salutations, everyone. Welcome to Unlock Your Wealth Radio. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Heather Wagenhals, and we are broadcasting live this week from the Log Mahal in Payson, Arizona, and I actually have a live studio audience. Everybody, I have my mock wedding murder party mother and father here, and my good Uncle Larry, the union man. So, we have quite a show in store for you today. Oh, okay, here we go. We're having soundboard problems. This is what I did last week. Whoops. Anyhow, we have an incredible show here, and every Saturday at 10 a.m. we bring you the Unlock Your Wealth radio program. Unlock Your Wealth family of crisis management and financial wellness products are designed to help everyone, man, woman, and child alike, manage their finances and attitudes for the single purpose of financial independence. So let's get on with the show. This is the 10th key in the Keys to Riches this week, and our key this week will be Remember Real Estate. So all that we talk about today in the different segments is going to be real estate related. Now, I gave you a hint last week on the trivia question, and I said I would do it for a later broadcast, but I thought, well, let's just see who's paying attention. So I'm going to give it to you now, and I'm going to give you the call-in number, but we are not taking answers yet for the trivia question. But if you call in and get the right answer, you can win 13 weeks of coaching from the Unlock Your Wealth coaching series. The call-in number, write it down, is area code 718-508-9002. That's 718-508-9002. And the trivia question is, there are 85 factors, and hold on, my studio audience, don't answer right yet because we're not taking answers, it's just a question. There are 85 factors in your credit score, but two factors don't count that people think are involved in their credit scores. So out of 85 factors that involve your credit score, two things don't have any influence on your score itself. And they actually, one will affect an underwriting decision, I will give you a little hint, and one is not what you think it is. So there are two things that I'm looking for that do not go into your credit score. So put your thinking caps on, or just remember from last week's broadcast what those answers are, and hang on, and when I say call in to win, and I'm going to give the studio audience here a chance to call in also, we'll see who wins the coaching this week. Now, for Investor's Edge, we're going to talk about how to get new tenants to fill your vacancies. On Nuts and Bolts, we're going to talk about underwriting criteria for investor loans. Since our key is real estate and we're looking to build wealth through real estate, we'll talk about specifically what underwriters are looking for in today's new investment climate after everything's gone on. We will also have a great segment that we've just built, News by the Numbers. If you remember last week's caller who called in to win coaching, she is now going to be hosting our News by the Numbers segment, Karen Gurnham. So we'll hear from her later about some of the economic indicators that we had this week and from last month and what to look forward to. Our key this week, again, is Remember Real Estate. And we are also going to have some upcoming guests I want to tell you about for next week's broadcast. I told you that I'd be bringing on a mortgage modification guy, and everybody seems to want to have information. They don't really understand how that process works, what's involved, what's a scam, what's really worth paying for, and how do you know you've got somebody that's going to actually help save your home from foreclosure and get those payments back in line. So we'll have that coming up in next week. We'll have our mortgage modification guy. But today, let's talk about picking up tenants to fill your vacancies. If you're a real estate investor and have had some vacancies lately and are starting to have cash flow problems, you're going, oh my gosh, I've been running an ad forever. I don't know what to do about filling my properties, and I'm going to start having some late payments here if I'm not careful. And you're running ads, you're asking everybody, you're asking your current tenants for referrals, and you just don't know what to do. Well, I'm going to give you a little secret today, and I'm going to give you the why behind it and the reason why you should go find people in this particular area. Now, with all the people that are being foreclosed upon, clearly they have had some interruption in income. And because it takes so long for foreclosure to happen, because usually you're late before they start even calling to collect, they let you go late, and then for whatever reason you're not able to resolve your foreclosure issue. Maybe you had an interruption in employment or a catastrophic event that kept you from paying it, or you just can't afford it. Maybe you had a reduction in income, not a complete elimination of it. So if you lost your job or had to take a pay cut, now you can't make your mortgage payment, so you stopped making it, and you get into this mindset about how to pay bills and where your priorities are, and some people think that it's more important to pay their credit cards. They figure, well, I'm only not paying one bill, and not realizing that their mortgage payment is the most important credit line that they have, and not the credit scores from what they are paying on their monthly bills. So they get into this mindset, so they stop paying the mortgage, and then they get foreclosed upon. They get that notice of default, and they're really panicking now because in order to reinstate a mortgage, you have to pay all the past due payments. So it could be 6 months. It could be 9 months worth of payments, and they just can't make that deal. But they're already preparing for the fact that they're going to have to go live somewhere else, and they're going to need a place to live. And typically, if they're in a home, they probably have lots of stuff and maybe lots of other people in our house, so like kids, indigent parents, relatives that they're caring for, and they need a place to live too. So my suggestion to you to find tenants for free, this is only going to cost you a little investment of your time, is to make your way down to the courthouse and go where you where they're doing the foreclosures on the courthouse steps, because people have to show up and sign all the paperwork. So when they get foreclosed upon and their home is sold, they now have to move out and find a place to live. And if they were able to take on the commitment to a mortgage, certainly they could manage a one-year lease for you. And at least it helps them to start sorting things out. If you're thinking about unloading your property, maybe you could even do a lease option or a lease purchase with these new clients to help get them back on their feet. They're overwhelmed. They don't know what's going on. They made a mistake. They're probably listening to a bunch of people right now that said, look, I told you so, and these people aren't helping them, or there's so many get-rich-quick items in their mailbox and scams when it comes to foreclosure. They don't know what to do, so not doing anything is easier for them than to try to do something and have it not work. So you could be the answer for these people. And it's a win-win because you are not only helping them out, but you're helping yourself out because now you've got a tenant that's going to help subsidize that mortgage payment. So that's my gift to you. That's free. That's total bonus, not included in the price of today's class. So if you're looking for a tenant, stop wasting your money on advertising dollars, putting your property in the paper or on Craigslist or in little picket signs around intersections. Just go down to the courthouse. There's a ton of people being foreclosed on every day that just need a fresh start, and you could be the one to give that to them and help yourself out at the same time. So for Investor's Edge, that's the secret, picking up tenants at the courthouse where the foreclosures are taking place. Now, for nuts and bolts, this segment today, I want to talk to you a little about underwriting criteria and different guidelines. But we're going to take a break real quick here, and I want to check in with my studio audience. So do you have any rentals that you need to have filled? Is that a good way to get it done? Okay, great. I need to work on them. They're not as enthusiastic as I thought they would be. So sit tight, folks. We'll be right back with Nuts and Bolts.
Things in life are free, but you can give them to the birds and bees. I want money. That's what I want. That's what I want. That's what I want. Your love gives me such a thrill, but your love won't pay my bills. I want money.
Welcome back. You are listening to Unlock Your Wealth Radio. I am your show hostess this fabulous Saturday, March 7th. I like that alliteration there, Saturday, March 7th. I'm silly. I know. Anyway, we are broadcasting live from the Log Mahal, and I have my fabulous mock wedding murder party family. And for the 59ers that have tuned in, they know what I'm talking about. But pretty much I have my neighbors and my free tenants here from the Log Mahal. You know, it's a little early for them because they're retired, so they're not used to getting up at 5 in the morning and cracking at it as early as I am. So, anyhow, nuts and bolts. Today's segment, we are going to talk about underwriting guidelines and the criteria that underwriters are looking for now that we have launched our real estate investment market go-to hell in a handbasket. Now, last summer, we watched a bunch of loans implode and a bunch of big companies go down as a result of faulty underwriting criteria. We got into this groove, and everybody bought into it, not just the banks, but we have to be culpable ourselves for those of us that went out and maybe got those liar loans. And at the time, we probably thought, and, you know, now my mom quitting murder party mother is laughing when I said liar loans, but that's kind of what they were called, you know. And what they did is they allowed underwriting guidelines to be loosened. And these underwriting guidelines were there for a reason, but, you know, money was cheap. We had housing incentives. We had Bill Clinton commanding us from 92 saying everybody deserves to be a homeowner, which is not true. Everybody that is qualified, able, and prepared for the opportunity of homeownership should be in a home. So we've got all these people that wanted to get into the home market, and so banks made it easy, they made the money supply available, and then they loosened underwriting guidelines when people weren't clamoring at the doorstep to buy homes. And so with interest rates going down and being deliberately held down on purpose with the looser money supply, what we saw was a flood of people to become homeowners. And then when we were able to get all those people into homes, and then we saw home values start to skyrocket for no apparent reason other than scarcity at the time, at least for our market here in Arizona. What happened then is that everybody decided, oh, well, I can be a real estate investor. And there were significant underwriting guidelines for investors that were stricter for an investment property than it was for your primary residence. And the reason being is if push came to shove and you got into a financial pinch, what would you let go first, your rental home or the home you lived in? So because there was more risk for the bank because you had traditionally let go of your rental home and let it go into foreclosure, there was more guidelines. They wanted more buy-in. They wanted more commitment, not just personally but financially into that property, and for good reason because of what we call flight risk. But again, market's going up, everybody's making money, economy's cruising along, so they lowered the criteria for investor guidelines. So now we had a flood of people buying investment properties who were not properly capitalized to do so. And then when the market turned, then rent rates went down, so now they couldn't cover their mortgage. They were not only not cash flowing and making money at these investment properties, but now they weren't cash flowing. They were upside down, so they were having to come out of pocket every month for this. And then again, interest rates were low, so why would I rent when I can afford to buy for the same amount of money? So now we have vacancies on top of negative cash flows on these properties and people who weren't properly capitalized. So I'm going to talk about the four layers of risk. When an underwriter goes to underwrite a loan, he needs four things in order to make his determination. And these are called layers of risk because you don't have to be 100% in each category. You just have to give the underwriter confidence in each category that you will make your monthly payments. And if one category is weak, you can compensate for that in another one of the four layers of risk. So we'll talk about that. I also call these four layers of risk the four C's, and they are simply character, capacity, capital, and collateral. Now I'm going to take away the first category because it always is what it is and it never changes, and there's nothing you can do to affect this underwriting guideline. So we'll take collateral out of the mix. The collateral portion of the four layers of risk is simply home value. Now, I said home value. This is not price. And what I mean by price is this is not willing buyer, willing seller negotiating freely in an open market 25% over the current market value because of scarcity. So a property is what it is, and an underwriter is only going to extend you a loan for a percentage of what the value is, not the purchase price. So if purchase price is over the appraised value, then you're going to have to come out of pocket for that difference, or the seller is going to have to adjust his sales price when you go to buy this property. So that's one layer of risk that, like I said, is what it is. It doesn't change. So I like to get that one out of the way. The next three layers of risk we can use in varying degrees to compensate for one another. So the next layer of risk I want to talk about is character. And character is simply your credit rating. This is a reflection of how you have paid your bills in the past. And I always like mutual fund disclaimers to describe this. A mutual fund says past history does not indicate future investment success, but it is a good indicator. So how you have paid your bills in the past is likely to be a good good indicator of how you will pay your bills in the future. Now, it's just a snapshot of a moment in time, and you may have had some bumps along the way, but we can tell the difference when we look at your credit rating, whether you have had a catastrophic event like the death of an income-producing spouse, loss of your own income, or a catastrophic event like a car accident that kept you from working, and we can tell when you fall off the wagon and when you get back on. So we can determine a catastrophic event and isolate that in your credit and not hold that against you. But then again, we can also tell if you're just a slacker and you don't pay your bills on time. Oh, I forgot, or I didn't check my mail this week, and I didn't get my bill out on time. So if you have strong credit, that will make the other two underwriting criteria easier for you. If you have strong credit, if you pay your bills on time, if you manage your money well, if you keep your balances low in relation to how much credit you have, and if you've had it for a while, that's what an underwriter is going to look at. They like to see a minimum of four trade lines, and a trade line is just simply an extension of credit. It can be a car loan. It can be a credit card. It can be an installment loan. It can be a mortgage. And now if you're applying for an investor loan, mortgage creditworthiness is going to be an even bigger factor in your underwriting process. So how you have paid your current mortgage over your other bills is going to be an indicator of how you're going to pay your investment loan. So, and they look at the last 24 months because anything before that, you know, again, it could be a catastrophic event that took you off course. So that's not going to weigh so heavily. But how you have performed in the last 2 years will indicate how you will perform over the next 2 years. So they want to see at least four trade lines for at least 24 months with no late payments And they want to be able to see good mortgage history. So that's what that underwriting criteria looks like. The second one is going to be capital. And capital is two things. One, how much are you going to put into this property? How much skin do you have in the game? And then two, how much money do you have left over after you put that money? Did you just try to make a down payment with every single nickel that you have? Or are you going to have cash reserves? So we've got down payment and cash reserves. Those are the two things that an underwriter is looking for. How much you got in, how much you got left over. Now, when you buy your own home and all of those stated income loans and those zero down loans are gone, especially for investors, why those came up, I'll never know. But that's all gone now. If you bought a home using VA, you had to put no money down and you only had to pay your closing costs. If you went FHA, you only had to put 3% down. Now, FHA is 3.5% because of all the defaults, so it went up half a point. And mortgage insurance went up a bit, and you had to have 1 month's worth of mortgage payments in the bank back in the day. Now it's two. So 3.5% down and two mortgage payments in the bank. But with FHA, you can buy investment properties as long as you live there. So you can buy a 2, 3, or 4-plex with FHA for only 3.5% down. So that's one way to start to become a real estate investor, by being owner-occupied. Now, today we're going to talk about investor loans where you don't live there. So it can be a single-family residence, or it can be a multifamily property. It could be under 4 units. It can be over 4 units. It doesn't matter. The guidelines are the same. So now, when you're doing an investor loan where it's non-owner occupied, 25%, no ifs, ands, or buts. You used to be able to do 20% down, and then all of those great stated income loans came out, or they started doing 10% down, then 5% down. And how anybody was able to make a property cash flow with 100% down is beyond me. But you can't get money after your mortgage payment from the rental difference if you don't have any skin in the game. And that's essentially what they're looking for, because they want you to have skin in the game so you're less likely to walk away. If you have no money in it and you get foreclosed on, that's no sweat off your back. But if you put your blood, sweat, and tears via cash into a house for investment, they know you're not going to walk away, that you're going to do the best you can. Now, depending on where your income is on these loans, and that's our other layer of risk, depending on where your capacity layer is, you're going to have anywhere between 2 to 6 months' worth of mortgage payments in the bank left over as cash reserves. It's going to be more like 4 to 6. It depends on what your current money is and what your debt ratio is, and we'll go back to that one in a bit. So, what? I hope that didn't just hang me up. Okay, I'm still on. Sorry about that. I'm having technical issues again. So, we're going to have 4 to 6 months worth of mortgage payments in the bank sitting there for us. So, then we move to our capacity layer of risk. And our capacity layer is simply our ability to repay our financial obligation. So when we repay our financial obligation, we do that through the monthly income we have ourselves plus any rental income we get. Now, the way underwriting calculates this is different than what you think. You think, oh, okay, if I take $1,000 a month in rent and my mortgage is $1,000, I'm break even, that's totally cool. Doesn't work that way. What they calculate as your payment for income to credit toward offsetting the debt, when they come up with their ratios, they take 75% of your mortgage payment and count that as rent. Okay, so if your mortgage payment is only $1,000 a month and you need to charge $1,500 a month to take and overcome that 25% hit that they're going to take and put on your mortgage payment, on your rent payment, because they don't count it, because they know that that's not the only thing you have to pay for, because they know that there's maintenance that's involved. There's insurances that are involved. So 100% of your rent payment cannot be credited toward paying that mortgage back. So
sorry for the interruption. We are having technical difficulties here in studio. So back to the layers of risk that we were talking about. Where we are is our capacity layer of risk, and this is our ability to repay the note. The reason why it's important for you as a real estate investor to make sure that you are not carrying any personal debt is because you take this 25% hit on the income, so you have to be able to make that up with your personal income on your real estate investments. So carrying zero debt is key. Only charge on your credit cards what you can comfortably afford to pay off, because your underwriting guidelines say that we're looking at 28 and 36 is our ratios. 28% is our housing ratio, which is our personal residence, and then 36% is our total debt, and that's going to include this mortgage payment for the real estate investment property. So, again, we need to charge 150% of our mortgage payment as rent, so we have a sinking fund that we can set up for repairs on the property and be able to overcome that blip, that 25% hit that we have. So we need to make sure that we are not deliberately making us unable to qualify by having a lot of personal debt. So no car payments, no credit cards, only charge what you can afford to pay off at the end of the month to make sure that we're meeting those criteria. So those are the four layers of risk, and those are the things that mortgage underwriters are looking for in order to approve your investment loan. So to recap those real quick, to give you the bullet points, you're going to have 25% down. You're going to have at least 4 to 6 months worth of mortgage payments in the bank after you put down that 25% down payment. You're going to have very low or non-existent debt on your debt ratios, not including your mortgage payment for your primary residence, but we also have to have a minimum of 4 trade lines with 0 lates for the last 24 months. The property has to appraise, and again, our income needs to be consistent for the last 2 years, and we have to make sure that our rent payment more than covers the mortgage payment that we're taking on. But if we meet all of that criteria, wahoo, you too can be a real estate investor. So, do we have any questions from the studio audience? Is everybody ready to go out?
Yeah, you bet.
Yay! Okay, I'm having to fill in applause with a sound file because you guys are not being enthusiastic. It's Saturday. Wake up! There we go. Okay. All right. Well, now that we have our nuts and bolts segment over, referral partners. Unlock Your Wealth Radio is looking for referral partners for the show. If you are interested in being a referral partner to the Unlock Your Wealth Radio show with Heather Wagenhals, you can be a part of receiving tremendous benefits, being able to refer quality goods and services to our listeners who are seeking financial independence and are in need of your insurance, finance, real estate, and investment products and services. If you're interested in participating in the show as a real estate or referral partner of the radio show, call directly at 1-866, our toll-free number, 966-9420. That's 1-866-966-9420. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be back with News by the Numbers with Karen Gurm.
If I were a rich man, all day long I'd busy, busy, long. If I were a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work hard. If I were a busy, busy, rich, idle, 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 idle man, I'd build a big, tall house with rooms by the dozen, right in the middle of the town. A fine tin roof with real wooden floors below. There could be one long staircase just going up, and one even longer coming down, and one more leading nowhere just for show. I'd fill my yard with chicks and turkeys and geese and ducks for the town to see and hear, with each one squawking noisily as they can.
why am I muted? And real estate investment is a key way for us to be able to build wealth through real estate. So our key affirmation is, I am a great real estate investor. Because again, when we make our affirmations, they are positive, they are present tense, and we are acting as if we already have what we're affirming. We're just telling us something that we already know. I am a great real estate investor. So your key action item for the week is to take a financial snapshot of where you are today. And what we're going to do is we're going to evaluate it based on those four layers of risk we talked about in Nuts and Bolts. And we're going to take a look at where we are and how close we are to meeting those four layers or those four segments of underwriting criteria to see if we're able to begin homeownership investment in real estate. And that's your key action item, is do a little evaluation, because now is the time. Real estate prices are not going to get any lower, so we need to take advantage of this while we can. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to try to go back to our News by the Numbers series, and let's see if our correspondent, Karen Gurm, is ready for our segment. Karen, are you there? Karen, are you there?
Yes, Heather, I'm here.
Oh, great. I don't know what happened. I'm having technical difficulties. I have to master this board.
Well, Karen, no prop.
Sorry for that. So I'd like for you to do your segment. Tell me what financial indicators and news and information you have for this week.
I will. This is News by the Numbers, and I am your segment host, Karen Gurm. Today's segment is brought to you by MSN Money. Let's talk index closing numbers for Friday, March 6th. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed at 6,626.94, down 6.17% from last week and down 24.49% for the year. S&P 500 index closed at 683.38, down 7.03% from last week and down 24.34% for the year. The Nasdaq Composite Index closed at 1,293.85, down 6.1% from last week and down 17.96% for the year. Russell 2000 Index closed at 351.05, down 9.76% from last week and down 29.71% for the year. Crude oil per barrel is up to $45.52, up 1.7% from last week and up 2.06% for the year. Gold per troy ounce is at $942.70, a 0.02% gain since last week and 6.6% gain for the year. Despite the rally, which appeared to be short covering by speculators who had sold stocks short during the week, the Dow finished down 6.2% for the week, its worst loss since the week of October 6th, when it fell 18%. The S&P 500 7% loss and the Nasdaq 6.1% loss were their worst since the week of November 17th. The selling extended the losses for the Dow and the broader S&P 500 to levels not seen since 1996. The Nasdaq finished at six-year lows. The U.S. unemployment rate hit 8.1%, up from 7.6% in January and a 25-year high. At the same time, the Labor Department said employers shed 651,000 jobs in February, the 14th straight month of job declines. Job losses since December 2007 now total an estimated 4.4 million. Adding to the selling pressure was continued uneasiness with the Obama administration's plans to stabilize the financial system and growing opposition to its tax plans. Business Week reported this week that a broad array of businesses is gearing up to fight the president's budget plan. Crude oil was up to $1.91, or 4.4%, to $45.52 a barrel Friday. Mortgage foreclosures rise as nearly 12% of U.S. residents with a mortgage, or 5.4 million homeowners, were at least 1 month late with a mortgage payment or already in foreclosure proceedings, the Mortgage Bankers Association said on Thursday, up from 10% at the end of the third quarter. The U.S. House passed a bill Thursday that could provide some relief to struggling homeowners. The proposed law would allow so-called cram-downs, reduced mortgage payments forced upon lenders by bankruptcy judges, designed to help owners keep their homes. The banking industry hotly opposes this bill, and it will face heavy debate in the Senate.
Yes.
And that is your news by the numbers.
Well, thank you so much for that update, Karen.
Absolutely.
One of the things that we need to think about or remember when we're thinking about all of this stuff is, first, these are all the numbers, and while they may seem bleak, we can't let these numbers get us down because we have to keep them in perspective. And one of the things that the regular news doesn't do is keep these things in perspective. And what we have to remember is that while we may be seeing foreclosures on the rise, in the grand scheme of things, foreclosures only represent 3% of the total housing market. So what does that mean? 97% of people are paying a mortgage on time. We're forgetting that. 97% of the population is paying their mortgage on time. We have to stop looking at this as it's so bad. It is bad. It's unfortunate for those that took a loan that they knew they couldn't afford, that overbought, whatever, and for the lenders that kind of coerce these people into thinking that, oh, yes, you can, too, keep up with the Joneses even though you don't make the money they make. And you can continue to spend and use your home as an ATM. The problems that I have, and I can tell you what the problems that the banking industry has also, is if they force these people, these bankruptcy judges, if they force these mortgage companies to bite the bullet and reduce these mortgage payments to what the people can afford, what that's going to do is devalue the homes. Home prices are going to plummet because of this. And what we need to look at is, well, yes, it's unfortunate that these people are being displaced, but you know what? Where is personal accountability? I have to try not to get too high on this horse, but personal accountability has to come into play somewhere. If you are flipping burgers, and not that that is bad, but if you are flipping burgers, there is no way you should be living in a multi-million dollar palatial estate. Let's be realistic. Now, we may want that, but we can't afford that. And for a bankruptcy judge to arbitrarily say, okay, Mr. Lender, I know you gave this guy a $1 million mortgage on this house, but he can really only afford a $100,000 mortgage, and shame on you for giving it to him, and there's no culpability on the guy's part for applying for a $1 million mortgage, what message is that sending? You know, he should be punished, he should be displaced, and he needs to start over and do it the right way. Not be able to score a $100,000 mortgage for a $1 million property. And that's essentially, and that's a dramatic explanation of what's going on, but that's essentially what this bill is going to do. It's going to tell these people, it's okay that you committed fraud, it's okay that you lied to get in this house, and we're so concerned about the foreclosure market, again, it's only 3% of the total housing market, but we're so concerned that we're going to disrupt things and make things worse. This is Congress's feeble attempt to redistribute wealth. And as an Ayn Rand aficionado, I totally disagree with this. We must be accountable for our actions. There have to be consequences for non-performance. This is part of that mindset that started 20 years ago with these people saying everybody gets a trophy on the team. Forget the fact that our soccer or little league team was the worst in the league. Everybody gets a trophy. Everybody feels good, so our self-esteem is intact. Well, screw that. Everybody should fight this. You need to call your congressmen and your senators, and you need to tell them that you oppose this bill too, because this is going to devalue your property. If you make your mortgage payment on time, and you bought your house at X price, and you work hard, and you've had to sacrifice because maybe you've had a pay cut, or you've been displaced, but you have worked to pay your mortgage on time, you should be really pissed off that the guy next door could be a slacker, and he's going to get to live right next door for you for a third of the price. Bottom line, that's what this is, and all of you need to take and call your congressman. Am I right? Yes, it is tough. It is a bitter pill to swallow, but I am here to tell you that that's just completely unfair. And let's talk true fairness. Fairness is not redistribution of wealth. Fairness is fairness. And I want you to also, if you didn't take the time last week because part of the stimulus package hasn't been passed, you still have a chance to voice your complaints about what I brought up last week and President Obama's stimulus plan. He's doing the bait and switch. He's offering an $8,000 incentive for new homeowners. Okay, so here in his left hand, he's like, look, $8,000 incentive for people to buy homes. And this is what happened the last time, and people that couldn't afford to buy went out and bought. So he's got this, but then in his right hand, anybody that makes over $250,000 a year, oh, we're going to remove your mortgage interest deductibility. So while everybody is looking over here to the left hand saying, oh, great, we can get $8,000, he's screwing everybody else that makes $250,000 or more. So we have to say we do not agree with it, because the people that are stimulating the economy are not the people that are getting this $8,000 tax credit. They're the people that make $250,000 a year or more. Again, I ask you to think about this. When was the last time a homeless person ever gave you a job? When? Yesterday? Last week? Was your first job that you got from a homeless person? Probably not. So given that, we need to rethink what we want to accomplish here with all of these giveaway programs and these incentives. Redistribution of wealth benefits no one, because what happens is all these people with their hands out are going to be like, gimme, gimme, gimme. And then so everybody else is going to be like, well, why should I work when I can just gimme, gimme, gimme? So you're going to have a shift of producers of wealth to takers of wealth. And if nobody is producing wealth because there's such a heavy penalty for doing so, and there's all these handouts, where's the money going to come from? Where? And you think about this. If we don't have any rich people anymore because we've taken away all their wealth, who's going to pay for all the poor people? So instead of giving a hand out, why don't we give them a hand up? Teach them about being financially responsible. Teach them how to be accountable for their own actions. And understand that just because they exist doesn't make them entitled to everything. That's the mindset that we put into our kids starting 20 years ago with this stupid everybody gets a trophy game. And this is something that is bad, bad news for America. So, Karen, thank you so much for bringing this information to the forefront. I know I kind of got on a high horse there, but we're really glad that we're able to start talking about this kind of stuff and really putting this foreclosure business into perspective. It's 3% of the total housing market, 3% of the inventory. So 97% is okay. So remember that. Now, I got a little carried away here, and I forgot to bring back the trivia question. So, does anybody even remember the trivia question?
Yes.
Anybody in the studio audience?
The don't count in your credit report out of 85.
Okay, there's 85 factors that go into your credit score, but there are two things that do not. So, anybody here? Anybody?
Hi.
Okay, Dad.
Text and color of skin.
That is good. I'm surprised that you knew that.
Right.
That's right. That is one of them. The Equal Credit Opportunity Act factors do not go into your credit score. So what that means is race, country, color, creed, religion, gender is not included. Marital status, none of that stuff is included in your score value. So when your scoring model, when they pull your credit and they calculate your score, that is not considered. So they cannot tell if you are Kelly Smith, a guy, or Kelly Smith, a girl. Kelly Smith, a black guy. Kelly Smith, an Indian, Kelly Smith, American. None of that. It's just Kelly Smith, and here's all of my credit obligations. Okay, so since you guys are doing so well, I didn't think my studio audience would do so well. yes, Uncle Larry.
I think I know another one.
What would the other one be?
Your income.
Oh, my God. You would think that I saved it. Income does not count in your score. Where income comes into play is in an underwriting decision. Income does not have anything to do with score. It has to do with an underwriting decision. So your score is based on 85 factors. And again, we talked about 3 out of 85 are the most important. On-time payment, 30% of your score, but not the most important. Length of time that you've had payments, that a credit line has been open, 15%. And the most important is 35%. Can anybody guess what that is? I stumped them. Can anybody guess?
How you pay? One time?
Nope.
How much
that's 30%.
How much you pay?
No, because that's not a factor. Income is not a factor. Okay. 35% of your score has to do with open and available credit. Open and available credit. So what that is if you have a $1,000 credit line and you have a $100 balance, you have $900 of available credit. If you have a $1,000, ooh, did I hear some good information? If you have a $1,000 credit line and a $1,000 balance, you have zero available credit. So if you are maxed out, you have just lost 35% of your credit score. 35%. And the unfortunate thing about your credit is that it's a voluntary system. It's not organized or regulated by the government. These individual bureaus manage the information. So since it's voluntary, information comes and goes, not systematically, not according to a particular schedule. So a lender, in order to participate in the system and be able to pull credit, he may only upload his credit information every 3 months. He might not update monthly, okay? So you may have paid off a balance, but because the lender only reports quarterly, that it might take 2 months before that to show paid off. And here's the kicker. Interest-only loans. Everybody got these great interest-only mortgages so they could afford to buy more. So if you got a $300,000 mortgage on an interest-only deal, and you've made payments for 5 years, guess what your balance is? Mom?
What it started
zero.
At.
Exactly. What it started out at, $300,000. So if we have a $300,000 credit line and a $300,000 balance, what's our available credit?
Zero.
Yes. Way to go, Dad. Okay, so zero is now our available credit. So again, 35% of your score. So, well, these people are all retired, so they don't need any of my coaching and advice because I'm learning from them because they're all successful and super millionaires. So I want to thank my studio audience for participating today.
Yay! Wonderful.
Absolutely. And so we give a shout-out to the 59ers who are listening or who will be downloading this broadcast later because they're probably out having some party. Oh, wait a minute. It's snowing in Ohio, so
that's right.
So they're probably sitting and actually listening to the broadcast as we speak. So anyway, we're giving a big shout-out to them and to all my yoga buddies that tuned in today. I want to remind you about next week's broadcast. We're going to have a mortgage modification guy down as our special guest. As we talk about mortgage modification, how does that affect you? Does it affect your credit? Does it affect your credit negatively? What does it do for you? Am I eligible? Can I get some breathing room now that my home value has plummeted and I owe more than my home is worth? Is this a value for me? We teach you how to evaluate that successfully. And remember, every Saturday at 10 a.m., you can tune in to Unlock Your Wealth Radio and learn about our family of crisis management and financial wellness products and how they can help you become successful at what you do. Again, today's key was remember real estate. The 10th key in the keys to rich is we only have 3 more to go before we start over. And remember, the keys to riches is a baker's dozen of financial concepts that not only teach you how to think like the rich and be in control of your own money, but it also gives you specific techniques to create or fix your credit, reduce debt, save and invest, building wealth through real estate, all while transforming your current financial habits into healthy money management skills. We look forward to seeing you tune in next week for more information about the Keys to Riches and the Unlock Your Wealth family of products. You can go to www.unlockyourwealth.com, www.unlockyourwealth.com. If you didn't have a chance to call in and win coaching, but you're still available or still interested in coaching for you and how to get you to be one of those Keys to Riches millionaires, please call 1-866-966-9420. Again, that number is 1-866-966-9420. We thank you so much for tuning in this Saturday, and I'm signing off for now. This is Heather Wagenhals. Unlock Your Wealth Radio.
I've had it up to here, listening to a small segment of people trying to put down America. America's the greatest land on earth, and we ought to be proud of what we have. I'm proud of America. I'm proud of our people, and I'm going to prove it. We're American and damn proud of it.
Frankly, I'm getting a little ticked off.
Go to hell.